Welcome to You Get the Blessing, Bob Belts and Bo Mitchell. John, Paul, Ringo, and George. All you need is love, everybody.
There's nothing you can do that can't be done.
Wow.
Nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. Nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you in time.
This show is about love and lighting you up, folks. Stay tuned right here.
All you need is love. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need.
And guess what, y'all? We're going to show you today how to love better.
Right.
Live better, laugh more, have a better life in this year.
And we're going to help you understand that love is not just a feeling. Love requires action.
Wow. That's a heavy program today. We're going to do all this through our guest, Kent Scroggs, who's one of the great guys and great leaders in Denver. You Get the Blessing is about blessing you because you're listening to this show. We're going to ask you to take some action. Jump in and help Kent Scroggs and his ministry, Restoration Outreach, and get involved. Faith is an action verb, not a passive, pathetic piece of life.
And love is a decision. See, there's another one of those great sayings. Was that Gary Smalley?
Did the Beatles know this?
No. They had no clue. They thought it was completely a feeling.
Absolutely. Kent Scroggs, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Bo. Thank you, Bob. Great to be here.
Good to have you, Kent.
How many years are we into it now at Restoration Outreach? Couple?
It'll be the beginning of my fifth year on January 1st.
Fifth year. Time is flying.
Indeed.
No wonder I'm feeling old. Fifth year. Congratulations.
Thank you. Remember when Kent was like a business guy and your oil business mostly,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Financial vice president for oil and gas company downtown.
So we've got to hear somewhere along the line again today the story of your life transitioning to where you're now pouring out yourself on behalf of people that need some help down there on Colfax.
All right. It was a little ugly.
Let's start with that. Oil business. You know, my mom and dad were in an old iron and steel family from Oklahoma City. My mother used to iron. Bad jokes. Okay. Oil business. Tell us about this.
Well, I was working, as we were saying, about 1998. I found, 1997, actually, I found myself thinking that my son was getting ready to graduate. He was a key catalyst in this whole thing, and I was thinking, you know, I don't feel like I know this guy, this wonderful young man that was brought into my life nearly as well as I should, and a lot of that had to do with just spending way too much time and, frankly, burning myself out working in the oil and gas business. Good company, good people. Just God was leading me someplace else, and he finally got my attention enough, so I went into my boss's office, the CEO, and said, Bob, I can't do this anymore. Can we work something out here? I need to go do something else. Don't know what that is, but I know it's not here. And 1998, I wrote this down a year after resigning, but... was one of the toughest years, but also one of the best years of my life as I finally began to learn what it means to trust God. Up until that point, I'd been doing a lot of trusting in Kent, and Kent had been doing okay, but Kent was doing increasingly poorly on his own, and I needed to let go of that and give God room to work in my life. And one of the key life lessons I learned during that time was a redefinition of what the word success means. I no longer think that success has anything to do with results. I think that success has everything to do with simply having the courage to do the next thing that God is asking you to do in your life, and to let go of the results and to trust Him for those, recognizing that the results may look like a failure from somebody else's standpoint and perhaps even from your own for a period of time. But some of my greatest successes have been through some of those things that look like failures. And
it's the world has a tendency to define success for us in ways that just make us crazy, almost seduce us into lives that take us somewhere we didn't mean to go.
So I began a journey of kind of seeing what God wanted me to do after that, and it's been great. I've learned a lot. Certainly learned to trust God a lot more when you're raising support for yourself and for your organization. There's lots of opportunities to learn to let go and trust God and see Him work, and we certainly see that happen a lot down at Restoration Outreach Programs.
So tell us exactly what goes on at Restoration. Who are you involved with? Where are you located? Those kind of things.
Well, we're located in the northwest corner of Aurora, just 4 blocks east of the border with Denver, which is Yosemite, right off of Colfax Avenue. It's a pretty tough part of town still. The parking lot of the grocery store in front of us is next to us is known as the Center for the Drug and Prostitution Trade, and that part of the city, and that would be bad news for a lot of people moving there, but that's exactly why we moved there. And we minister to a very diverse crowd. You'd be surprised at the statistics that we look at every month when we kind of look at who we're ministering to. Oftentimes, the largest percentage of people coming to our food bank, which we do weekly, are from Nepal, refugees that have been resettled there by the UN and associated agencies, and other refugees from Burma and from Somalia and from Ethiopia. We serve groups from all those constituencies, and increasingly so. The Burmese and Nepalese make up the bulk of our English as a Second Language program, which we have about 40 or 50 students every week involved in that deal. We've got 90 to 100 families coming to our food bank every week. We have counseling for individuals and groups, 12-step, Christian-based 12-step program. And that's just half of our ministry. The other half is all youth-focused. We have separate group mentoring programs for elementary school, middle school, and high school kids, and then an after-school tutoring program. So
that's it?
That's all.
I think in the new year, you guys got to come up with some new stuff.
I did forget something.
I'm sure it's not a long enough list.
All the clothes we picked up from you guys last week, which we're very thankful for, are going primarily to the benefit of our street ministry, where we have a team of volunteers every Monday night go out and serve a hot meal to mostly guys living in the local motels. And this time of year, warm clothing is something we like to give them as well. And we were able to pick up almost 11 boxes of clothing from as a result of your generosity.
Big boxes, too, because you crammed
big
those things
boxes
full.
We did. We didn't leave too much empty space.
Just kidding. Those all come from World Vision, and they're very kind to choose our ministry, Crosswalk Fellowship, to partner with, and then we get to partner with friends like you.
And our street ministry team is looking forward to putting an extra care package together for a bunch of those guys here over the next couple of weeks as a result of that gift. So we thank you.
You're welcome. Our friend Bill McCartney always says, everything rises and falls on leadership, and I consider you to be a wonderful leader. So when you list that off, Kent, do you feel same kind of pressure you used to feel in business, or a different kind of pressure? You just wake up every day lighthearted, joyful, kind of moseying through life, stumbling from one spotlight to the next.
Well, somewhere in between, I guess. There's still pressures there, obviously, but I've learned, as I was sharing earlier, who's in control of those and who I can trust them to, and I need to be faithful to do my part, and I'm still trying to learn where my part stops and God starts. But each day I try to get an outline as to what it is He wants me to do that day, and then let go and leave the results to Him. And so far it's working out okay. God's been pretty faithful.
So as responsible, competitive men, should we feel pressure in life? when we commit to Christ and understand, hey, he's got it. I don't need to panic. Does that remove pressure from our lives? Or when you get up to do a sermon, Bob, do you just kind of mosey down the aisle, think, hey, wonder what I'll talk about today?
I always feel anxious, and I was going to ask Kent, actually, because I think you know, he's probably further along than I am, because in my life it feels like I get anxious and I worry, and then I got to stop, kind of, you know, spend some time, you know, talk with God, spend a little time in prayer, turning it over, praying about the fact that I know I'm anxious and shouldn't be, but feels to me like I know in my own life it's kind of a ongoing battle. And, you know, I think about, you know, there's a great text where Paul in Philippians writes and says, don't be anxious about anything, you know, and you read that and you can think, well, easy for you to say, you know, but of course he was writing from jail, so maybe not, but, you know, when you study the passage a little bit, and then it says, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's a great little passage. For one thing, the first phrase there, don't be anxious, literally in the text says, stop being anxious. So it kind of assumes that anxiety is something we're going to deal with. And then it gives the antidote, of course, to that too, you know, that we should pray through things. And again, for me, that's always recognizing what Kent said, who really is in control, and that I'm not in control. And then the final phrase there, you know, the peace that surpasses understanding. It's a great phrase. It literally kind of means something that's beyond our comprehension to even understand, because I think sometimes in the midst of crisis, when we, you know, cast ourselves upon the Lord and get this peace, it literally doesn't make any sense. I mean, the thing that makes sense is that we should be anxious and worried and, you know, going a little bit crazy. But, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, one of the things that he does is he brings peace into the midst of chaos. And the final phrase, Bo, is actually like a military term, where it says that that peace that surpasses understanding will mount guard over your hearts and minds. And it's like a sentinel standing guard to protect something. And so, you know, it's a discipline, I think, that we have to learn. And that's why I think it's so important that we spend time on a daily basis and, you know, knowing that when we face challenges and crises, and if we're doing the will of God, which is the other important piece of this. So Kent, being in a situation that he is, where he's, you know, seeking to serve Christ and on a daily basis, you know, forced with the pressure of trying to come up with the resources to serve these people. And yet, you know, when you're in the will of God, those promises are there that we can trust him. And I like that passage.
So you got people coming at you that don't speak the language and are new to town. Probably right. Don't have a place to live, much to wear, much to eat, and yet we're looking at you saying, hey, don't worry about anything.
So, well, we try to come alongside them and help them where we can. We do a lot of stuff. We don't do everything. One of the things we're trying to do better is to not only be aware of others that are ministering to folks in our community, but to more actively seek out collaborations with them and be better stewards of the resources we have. And if there's somebody that does something that we're not doing already or does it better than we're doing it, then we want to, you know, point people in their direction and focus our time and attention, volunteers and money more on the places where we're filling gaps that others aren't filling or doing it as well as perhaps we are.
So who are some of the heroes you have in town that have shown you 5 years into what you're doing through their efforts, 10, 20, 40 years into serving in these ways? Who are some of the guys you
other
depend
folks
on, look up to?
Well, the gentleman that comes to mind most quickly is Pastor Thomas Mays at Living Water Christian Center out there just a mile or so further east of us. He's a great man of God who's serving primarily the African American community down the street, but he provided space to us as we were being evicted from our previous location We anticipated that coming, but we didn't anticipate it quite as quick as it did, and we were desperate for space, and Pastor Mays and the folks there were very gracious to open up space to us, and he's continued to be a great help in terms of networking with others and resources there in the community and with the city government of Aurora. So we're extremely thankful for him. David Warren at Open Door Ministries, he's younger than me, but I kind of consider him to be almost a godfather of our ministry. Restoration Outreach Programs was actually incubated under the care of David and Open Door Ministries for the better part of 2 years, and was launched when God brought me into the picture to help raise some funds and make it more independent, since we were operating in a different area of town than David. But David's a great role model and mentor, and we still get together every month or 6 weeks to just talk about how things are going and praying for one another. And right now we're praying for a favorable zoning resolution for Open Door Ministries as they seek to get approval from the city of Denver to use a new building for ministry purposes.
That's a good word. It's an interesting topic we've stumbled on here in terms of responsibility. If you're listening today and wonder how you can help, we're going to give you those opportunities to help with restoration outreach in a variety of ways. But I used to teach my kids, it's a fine line between wasted worry and, forgot what it was, responsibility before God and man. Very interesting. Where does that line shift for us? So in your case, I consider you to be, one of your leadership qualities to be organized and responsible, and yet for those nights you're laying there worried, I do thank God for Thomas and David and others in your life that help you. So as we're trying to challenge listeners on, you get the blessing today to hear your voice, see what you're doing, and respond. How can they get in touch with you, first of all, and then what specifically do we need? Because I want somebody to write a check for $2,000 or $200, whatever you can do, or $5,000 or whatever, because it seems like in some cases the more resource you have like that, the more you could do to serve these people.
Well, absolutely. But we definitely can always use some additional financial support, and we thank God for those that are partnering with us on a regular basis, or those that are able to have made a one-time gift at the end of the year. But as we're beginning a new year, this can be kind of a slow time in the money-raising area, so anybody out there that is in a position, feels led to make a donation at this time, that would be a special blessing to us as well. But as much as we need financial support, it's the human resources, it's the partners in ministry that come alongside us and serve our refugee friends and our people living on the street and the kids from broken homes or impoverished homes in our community. There's only so much that our staff of nine can do. We depend on the core group of 40-45 volunteers that are there on a weekly basis serving alongside us, and we could use more in each of those areas, whether it's at the food bank. After school tutoring is a particular need that we're really trying to grow, because if you can help a kid succeed academically, they can succeed in life, and unfortunately the opposite is true too. So we really want to help our kids succeed academically in all cases. And then our evening programs for kids, we need more mentors in each of those. Right now the ratio is we've got like 3 or 4 volunteers for 25 kids, and it becomes more of a program than a ministry, which we'd like it to be. When the ratios are that high, we'd love to get a few more folks on each night so we can have some quality time with 1 or 2 kids for each of our volunteers and staff. And food bank's going great. We could always use some more volunteers there. I'm real excited to see a lot of folks from our partner church, Restoration Worship Center, step up and take some leadership in some cases and help to make some of our ministries happen as well. So we're not just counting on the supporting churches from the suburbs. We're seeing folks that we've ministered to say, hey, you know, I want to be a part of this, and I want to help minister to people in my community. And so our food bank is made up mostly of folks like that, and our street ministry team is made up mostly of folks like that that have been blessed through ROP and now want to be a blessing to others.
What's some contact information that people that might be interested, how can they get a hold of you?
Well, the best thing to do is just look at our website, www.restorationoutreachprograms.org. I won't spell it out for you because it's too long, but...
So let's say it again, though, real slow.
Restoration Outreach Programs, programs with an S, .org okay. Is our website and all our contact information and a lot of short descriptions of the things that we do and the volunteer opportunities that we have are provided there.
I just remembered what it was. My kids are so old, I've forgotten. Wasted worry, responsible concern. So if I'm concerned about my health coming down to your end of the town, getting shot or beat up or my car...
Hasn't happened yet.
It hasn't. So that's just wasted worry.
Yep.
So I'm in my comfort zone and I want to get my head in the game, I can write you a check. But if my heart's going to really get in the game, I got to come down and touch it and see it and feel it, don't I?
Yeah, I invite people to do that. And indeed, one of the core convictions that God has given me that motivates me in ministry is the whole idea of how do we experience the abundant life that he intends for us, that he talks about in John 10:10. And I believe... Bob, you can jump in here and disagree or add that the key to experiencing the abundant life that he has for each one of us is to seek the purpose that he has for each one of us. And that may be at home, it may be in career, but it also may be in vocational ministry, and to pursue that where God has called and gifted you to serve, and just as importantly, to be serving for the right reasons, which is out of a heart of gratitude for what God has done for us, not because of our circumstances, in spite of those, but because of what Jesus Christ has done in each of our lives. And if we find the place that he wants us to serve, if we get out of our comfort zone, as you were talking about, and begin to do that, I think that's the key to discovering the abundant life he has for each of us.
You know, I think it ties back into even where you started your comments in terms of what is success. And as you were talking, I kept thinking about the place where Joshua, back in the Old Testament, is taking over for Moses, who was no weak leader himself, and you know, had a tremendous, you know, challenge in front of him. And the you know, and the message that was given to him was really to over and over, he kept talking about be strong, be courageous, and that he was to meditate, you know, in God's word, so that he could be careful to do it. And then the promise was, you'll be prosperous and successful. And of course, neither of those words in the context have to do with big bank accounts or, you know, success in the way that, you know, that oftentimes we talk about it, but really has to do with someone that discovers and accomplishes what God's will is for their life, that's true success and prosperity. Mm-hmm. And I just have this sense, as we're on here today, again, early in the new year, that, you know, the challenge for those of you that are listening is to try and figure out, you know, what's God's will for your life? Where should you be serving? What should you be doing? Are there changes that need to get made? And I just encourage you to, you know, part of that, I think, is really kind of camping out in Scripture and seeking God and saying, you know, what do you want me to do this year? And it'll make a big difference.
Kent Scroggs, you're a wonderful guy, great leader. Tell us quickly about your family.
My family is doing awesome. We're kind of budding empty nesters. I've got my oldest son, Brian, coming home for Christmas. Oops, sorry about the timing there, but...
He
came home for Christmas a couple weeks ago. He works at Microsoft up in Seattle. My middle child, McKenna, just started a master's program in occupational therapy at Colorado State University. We're real excited to see her doing that because it really seems like God's calling on her life. And then our youngest left last week on January 2nd to enjoy a Fulbright grant and to teach English in a little town about 90 minutes outside of Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia in the jungle. So she'll be over there for 10 months, and we're real excited to see what God does through that opportunity.
Does he look like James Taylor to you a little bit?
Well,
he had longer hair.
A little bit. You need to shave the mustache, you know.
That's a compliment. That's right. You look like Steven Spielberg. I look like Don Knotts. It's all a joy. Kent, we love you and thank you for what you're doing, and we're going to pray that God protects you, empowers you, equips you, and supplies the tools you need to minister to all these folks that are coming your way.
Well, I appreciate the prayers and look forward to connecting with some of the folks listening today. And I do want to acknowledge also my partner in ministry, Lisa, my darling wife, who, if it weren't for her, I wouldn't be able to do this. She does all kinds of ministry at ROP and Sunday school teaching and helps to administer my parents' affairs and hers as well, which is an increasingly full-time job, and I'm very thankful for her.
Boy, you were fortunate to think of that right before we signed off.
No kidding.
Way to go, Lisa. Bob, thanks for being a great partner. Good stuff, huh?
It really is. And for all you out there listening, thanks for listening today. And again, God's got a plan for your life for this year. Don't miss it.
Amen. And we'll see you next week right here on KOA.